So the first question we have for brother is, what is the difference between Srimad and Maryadas?
Yeah. Srimad means directions. Srimad means dictates. Srimad means commandments of God. When God comes on earth, He tells you certain set of instructions. These are the instructions you have to follow. He advises something. So these are all His advices. These are His suggestions, instructions, suggestions, advices. Everything that He speaks, everything that He says to make your life worthy, to make your life truthful, virtuous. Now, in the Srimad, there is a subcategory. And that category is known as Maryadas. So, if these are 100 Srimad here, out of those 100 Srimad, there are 10 Maryadas. Maryadas means ordinance. Maryadas are stricter. Maryadas are very stringent. Maryadas means you have to follow it. If you don't follow, you will have to bear the punishment. Srimad means, Baba says, to remember Baba is Srimad. Just try to remember me as much as possible, sometimes he says. Sometimes he says, if possible. Sometimes he says, okay, it's my suggestion that you should remember me. If you want your sins to get absolved, just remember me as far as possible. So Srimad is everything what Baba has said. But when it comes to Maryada, Maryada means there is no compromise. Maryada means Farman. Maryada means order. Maryada means fatwa. You know fatwa? In Muslim, there is fatwa. Fatwa, you cannot just neglect. You can't just take it for granted. It is very strict order. So, Maryada is a Hindi word. Fatwa is a Urdu word. Farman is a Urdu word. Ordinance is an English word. And rules and codes of conduct is again an English word. So rules, codes of conduct, they are very strict. So remember this difference. Srimad is everything what Baba has given instructions, and Maryadas are few, like Brahmacharya is a Maryada. Truth is a Maryada. Non-stealing is a Maryada. You cannot just come to center and steal things of the center and go away. Or break some principle of purity. It's a Maryada. One more thing to this. Remember, our institution is 4-in-1. Brahma Kumaris is 4-in-1. First, Brahma Kumaris is an organization. So every organization has set of rules and regulations. Second, Brahma Kumaris is a yagya. And when yagya is being performed by Brahmins, they have to follow certain rules, very strict rules. Third, Brahma Kumaris is a university and we are students. So, any school, you know how strict are the rules? No person can just go out anytime during the class. Can he? No. Recently, a joke had come to me. There's a teacher who is teaching a small school, students, a group of students. And she asks one student, what has happened? Why are you crying? She says, I'm crying because my mother is in hospital and my father is in police station. The teacher says, oh, I'm very sorry. Please, please, please. What do you want? She says, I want to go home. Okay, please, please, you go home. So the student goes home. The another boy comes, he says, why that student went home? She says, because her mother is in the hospital and her father is in the police station. The boy says, "Arey, her mother is a nurse and her father is a policeman, where they are supposed to be." So the teacher is running after the student, hey, please come back, come back. The student says, I cannot hear you now. Permission is permission. You have given me permission. Now I will not listen. So that's a joke. So, Brahma Kumaris is a university, a school, a college, and we are students. And third, Brahma Kumaris is a family. This is a spiritual family. This is not worldly family. They can act in any manner there, but not here, because this is divine, alaukik family. So these are the four things about this institution. So maryadas are stricter. Maryadas means you have to do it. There is not to reason why, there is but to do and die. In army there is a rule. Don't ask why, where. If they tell you about turn, right, left, you have to just go right and left. There is not to reason why, there is but to do and die. That's the rule. So that's about Maryada Srimat.
Where do I find the Maryadas and where do I find the Srimats?
Both are there in Murli. Murli is a Google of Googles. But there is a separate class on Maryadas. I have conducted that class many times in Hindi, not in English. But there is a separate set of Maryadas prepared by senior brothers and sisters, and there is a one printout is there, which is actually not given to all the students, but it is there in the Yajna.
In the center.
In most of the center it is there. Maryadas for Kumars, Maryadas for Kumaris, Maryadas for teachers, Maryadas for students. There is a separate group like that. And then Srimat is, many Srimat are there. 108 Srimat like that. Many, you can get those printouts. So Srimat like, remember Baba, imbibe divine virtues. Imbibing divine virtue is not Maryada. It's milder form. So you get everything in the Google of Googles, the Bible of Bibles, the Quran of Quran, the Upanishad of Upanishad, the Veda of Vedas. That is Murli.
So to summarize, which means that, by the way, the Maryadas, you find there are 16 Maryadas in the centers. For those who don't know, you can go and refer it. So in short, the Maryadas are the rules that you have to follow. If you break them, that means you are disobedient. Srimat are generally guidelines, advices, which are given through the Murli, Baba. And if you need, then sometimes you can take further clarification from the seniors. Okay, brother, I noticed that there are a few dogs here, and you know, for Brahmin home, most of them who offer bowl to Baba, where they have Baba's room, they don't have dogs. So the question came out is, why don't we have dogs in a home where we offer bowl?
I didn't get
we can make, you know, sometimes we have dogs.
Dogs?
Yeah.
Pet animals.
Pet okay. animals, and then we make them vegetarian, we feed them vegetarians. But why? Because it has been like an advice that when you have dogs in your home, you cannot offer bulk in your home. This is one of the questions that came up, you know.
First thing, Baba said that you have to get rid of all the attachments. Remember that.
All
you have to get rid of all the attachments. Baba did not have animals in mind when he said this, but keeping animals, pet animals, is not that an extension of your attachment? First thing. Why unnecessary we are increasing our attachments? If I carry one dog with me, so my half of the attention is to that dog. The dog is eating well or not eating well. The dog falls sick, I take him to the hospital. Recently there was a news in newspaper that one dog went in depression. How come? Because there was a couple and they were having a dog. Now a small child came in their house. She became mother. And so now the mother is paying more attention to her child and the dog is feeling depressed. Because now nobody is paying attention to me, so the dog is on antidepressants. So you have to keep on thinking about dog and pets. So first thing, I am not very much in favor of keeping pet animals. One thing. Another, if you have dog, the question is whether to offer bhog or not. What?
Yeah, the question is, when you have dogs, can you offer bhog?
Yeah,
in your home?
It's okay. I don't think there should be any objection to that. cleanliness and everything should be there. You have to take care of proper things if you are keeping such animal like that. And there's one more joke to this. And there was a man going a BK brother, our brother, and suddenly in Mount Abu, he is faced by a bear. So the moment he saw bear, this brother, BK brother, Kumar, he closed the eyes and started remembering Baba, 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 Baba. And the moment he closed the eyes, the bear also closed the eyes. So the BK brother asked, I closed the eyes to remember Baba. Why you closed the eyes? What you were doing? The bear said, I was offering bhog. So I don't think there should be much objection to that, provided you have all the cleanliness things in mind. And Baba has never mentioned any such Srimad or like that regarding such things. But of course, if you are having that, first of all, don't have it. But if you are having, keep it separate from that room. Keep that room very clean, very tidy. Don't allow that dog to keep on moving in that room again and again. So let that be there. You should be very strict regarding the entry of the dog. No permission for dogs in Baba's room.
Yes. I think it came out once or so that when you can make your dogs vegetarian, but if you let them go out or what, they don't become vegetarian, they don't discriminate, they will go and lick everything. So if you are not careful with your Baba's room, they come into Baba's room, they lick everything.
Yeah. So you should not allow them. That's what I think. Yeah. And one more thing, I remembered one more thing about psychology.
Yeah.
Have you heard of zigzagging phenomenon? Zigzag, zigzag. There's a man here. He goes with his dog for a walk. And they walk for about 5 kilometers along with the dog. The man has walked 5 kilometers, but the dog walked about 10 kilometers. How?
Because
it has the habit to go every lane, to bark, to eat, to search. The man is walking straight, but dog has a habit to go here and there, to go every lane, to find out what is in every utensil which is lying. So that is known as habit of zigzagging. This is just off the track, but mind has the habit of zigzagging like dogs. Rather than going here and there, go straight in the express pathway, Sangam Yuga express pathway. Next.
Okay. Brother, we noticed that you have a very interesting diet. Yeah. So maybe you can share with us what you
take. I think that should be kept
the benefit.
Later on, anybody is interested, they can meet me separately rather than sharing it in public.
Okay. So next question is, you know, Baba asks us to be detached observers in our life. If someone is blaming us for their wrongdoings every time, how do we apply this concept of being detached observer?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a type of person who don't like confrontation with others. So should I just keep quiet whenever the person blames me? Is this right?
Yeah. It will not happen in life that others will not come and blame me. Even if I am not at fault, people would blame. Even I have not done anything wrong, they will come and they will finger point. They will malign, they will criticize, they will cast aspersions. Something or other they will do. For example, a saint came in a village, and immediately soldiers of the king came and caught him and put him behind the bars. The saint did not say a word. The sadhu, the sannyasi did not say a single word. And in the jail he got to know that he is caught because there is a crime of stealing put upon him. So he didn't say any word. After 1 week he was released. And the king said, the real thief is caught. You are not the real thief. So you can go. So that sadhu, that sannyasi started going without uttering a single word. The king was amazed. He said, oh sadhu, just wait. When I put you behind the bars, that time you didn't say a single word. And now when I am releasing you, that time also you don't say a word. Please, what is this behavior? So sadhu said, I knew myself that I have never committed any crimes. In spite of that, if your soldiers caught me and kept me behind the bars, probably it is the fruit of some sin done in past births. It is some karmic account I had to settle. So when somebody blames me suddenly, I become Trikaldarshi. And when I am sure, I am not to be blamed, I have not done anything wrong, so I don't get affected by what he is saying. And still if he is saying, I know that probably in some other births, I must have said the same thing to him. I must have put the blame at his door. Now he is repaying me back. So first thing is this, to get stabilized in that. This is to become detached observer. Second, if somebody comes and blames me, apply triple filter test here also. If he might be right, he might be right, and I am in ignorance, I did not know. Probably out of ignorance I committed some crime, and what he is trying to enlighten me, so let me listen to him first of all. And then try to find the truth of what he said. If what he said is true, then I need to introspect. I need to go within myself. Rather than going in depression or frustration, let me stop for a moment and think and reflect and introspect and self-analyze. Yesterday we talked in soundless sound, few things. Let me do all of those self-talking, self-remembering with me. And this is the way I protect myself first. And then later on I enter into the detached observer stage. This is the second thing. Third, that person is lying, for example. He has some plot, some device. He has conspiring against me. He is untrue. Then again I don't have to worry. I have to see him as a detached observer. And last thing, Baba says this is a play. This drama is a play. What he is doing, he must have done 5,000 years back also. He is repeating, so there is nothing new in this drama. And this is a play, I need to enjoy this play. Whatever good, bad that is happening, I am a detached observer. This is the screen where things are happening. So practice of detached observership should be done at Amrit Vela. And once in 24 hours or twice in 24 hours, see yourself as a detached observer. Imagine a screen in front of you and see your whole life in that screen. Your failures, your successes, your childhood, your birth, your present life, your family, your parents, your children, your friends, everyone. Just try to see every day. When the practice of detached observership is every day, that time only you can get detached during situations. If you don't have practice every day, then suddenly you cannot get detached observer in such an emergency situation. This receiving blame is definitely an emergency situation. Any good soul will go in depression. The moment you hear somebody is talking so false, and especially when somebody talks about your character. Somebody comes and says, we have heard that you are having affair with somebody. Is it good for a yogi? Now what is your response? It's very hurting. We have heard that everybody is talking that you don't have a very good character. What is my response? Okay. So, detached observer. So right now become detached observer. Imagine a screen in front of you. See your entire life. All the life events. All the different actors and players who are around you.
So the word detached observer. Observer we know means to observe, to watch. But to be detached. Brother, can we Google more into this word detachment?
Detachment is more of a practice. One can get detached only with lot of practice, and that should be an everyday practice, one. Second thing about detachment is, the basis of detachment is vairag, disinterest. The one who doesn't have that sense of vairag for the things of the world, how can he be detached? And detachment has more to do with soul consciousness. The moment you become soul conscious, you get detached from the body. And recently there was a Murli where Baba said, if you get detached from the body, automatically you get detached from everything. Become nashto moha from body. That was the last Avyakta Murli which was played out in Shantivan in this last season. If you get detached from body, you can get detached from everything. So detachment is a practice. Detached observership is a practice. You can practice detached observership. I'll give you two examples. For example, stand on the road, by the side of the road, and see, people are coming and people are going. In the similar manner, now turn the attention inside. Thoughts are coming and thoughts are going. You are just standing. You are not identifying yourself with any thought. You are just seeing. I am here. This is the road. And these are the vehicles, men coming and going. Now these are the thoughts coming and thoughts going. Positive thoughts, negative thoughts. I am not doing anything. I am just watching them. So this is a practice of detached observer. One. Second, there is a tree and birds are coming and birds are going. This mind is a tree. And I am the soul behind it. Thoughts are coming, thoughts are going. The birds of the tree, the birds of thoughts are coming, alighting, sitting and going back. So this is a practice of detachment. So detachment is a thing which needs to be cultivated. And how do you get detached from things? One of the things which is taught in medical science is aversion therapy. What is aversion therapy? A person is addicted to drinking. He is taught to hate smoking or drinking. That is known as aversion therapy. Baba does the same thing. This is a dirty world. This is a tamo pradhan world. Everybody is already dead here. You don't have to do anything about this world. This is an empty place. This is hell. What are all these things? These are all the things to get detached from the world. Then Baba talks about bhakti. Bhakti, you don't get anything. It's buttermilk. You don't get anything. Baba wanted, bhakti is not bad. Devotion is not bad, but Baba wanted children to get detached. So he starts talking negative about things. So one of the ways of detachment is this path of negativity. Another way of detachment is positive path. For example, a child is there and there are two sweets, or you can say two apples, one small mango, one bigger mango. Which mango child will take? Bigger. So has he renounced the smaller mango? No. He got the bigger, so he gave up the small. So you get God, you give up the world, which is very small mango. So you get something big, automatically you develop detachment from something which is lower. So always think of your attainments, your fortunes, what Baba has given you, your treasures, everything. The moment you become Brahmin, you become fat. You get fat. What is fat? F-A-T. The moment you become Brahmin or Baba's child, you get fat. F means fortune, A means attainments, T means treasures. F-A-T. So keep on thinking about your fortunes, your attainments, your treasures. When you are thinking of all these things, automatically you get detached from the world which is worthless. The world which is so insignificant. The pleasures of the world are nothing in front of these super sensuous pleasures. What you experience in your bodiless stage, can you experience in those sensual pleasures? Never. So there is a positive path and there is a negative path. Use both of them and get detached. Om Shanti.
Okay. So brother was explaining that detachment means that two things you have to practice. One is to be so conscious, and the other you need is to have this interest. This interest in the thoughts, which means like you don't attach feelings, emotions. Or
consider feeling as informations.
Yeah, to it. Okay, so next question is, in the early days we used to hear that dadis, they used to sit for hours for meditation and they would be experiencing so much of happiness, joy. But nowadays, many of us find that it is a bit challenging to sit for meditation because there is always the problem of sleepiness. How can we work on it?
On sleepiness?
Yeah.
Yeah.
During meditation. It's quite a common topic.
The epidemic of sleep.
Maybe you can start like telling us at Amrit Vela what are the preparations we need to do.
But before that, I will tell you one more thing. Once Dadi Manorindra was narrating Murli, relating Murli in meditation hall in Pandabhavan, some of the mothers who were sitting there, they all were sleeping. Some were sleeping like this, like this, like this. So Dadi said, get up all of you and go and stand at the back wall. But they were so expert in sleep that they started sleeping while standing. There's one doctor who often comes to Madhavan, a lady doctor. She was sharing her experience. So when people come to Madhavan, they are so excited. They get up at 2 o'clock. Okay, at other their places, what they do, nobody knows. But once they are in Madhavan, they make it a point to get up at 2 o'clock. So she was narrating that once she got up at 2 o'clock and sat in Baba's hut. And while she sat, she started sleeping, falling here and there. So when she saw it was 2 o'clock, the next time when she saw it was 5 o'clock. It was a very short time because she couldn't know how 3 hours passed away. But when she saw 5, she got reminded that on the sofa which is behind the, she was sleeping, sitting down in Kutia, in that hut, on the sofa some people are sitting. So she got afraid, afraid because others have seen me sleeping. The more worry is about this. When I sleep, the first thing is who has seen. If nobody has seen, I am okay. The first worry is about this, that others should not see me. So she got worried that these 4 or 5 people who were sitting, they must have seen me 3 hours I was sleeping. So when she looked back, she saw 5 mothers are sitting, they all were sleeping. Then she felt relaxed. So sleep, Brahmins have got sleep problem in 3 or 4 areas. First, Amritvela they sleep. Second, during Murli they sleep. Third, during class also some people sleep. And fourth, when there is a group discussion going on, they are the greatest sleepers. They can even afford to sleep when there is an active discussion going on, that time also they fall asleep. There was one brother sitting at Shantistam and he was just like this, gone down. He was asked, what are you doing? He says, I am giving Sakash to earth. Sakash to earth. He has totally gone down. So what to do for sleep? First thing, you should have good night sleep. Only when you have sound sleep at night, then only you can have no sleep during Amrit Vela. Otherwise you will keep on sleeping. Probably you are taking less sleep. Probably you are not having sound sleep. Probably you are not having refreshing sleep. It could be some physical problem. So go and seek doctors. First of all, take medical help. Second, what is your way of going to sleep? Baba has given a lot of murli on this. And one murli, 31st December 1995. Baba said, Avyakta murli, before sleeping, tell everything that has happened to you throughout the day to Baba. Get light or make some chart or write something. And then sleep in the lap of Baba. If you are going to sleep with mobile, with social media, with internet on and sending messages, don't hope to get up early in the morning and have good Amrit Vela. So how you are going to sleep is very important. If you are remembering Baba, and third thing, what time you are going to sleep, you have to go to sleep early. The greatest effort of Amrit Vela is not to get up early in the morning, but to sleep early. Try to wind up everything as early as possible. Some people who is sleeping at 11 o'clock, how he can hope to have powerful Amrit Vela? At the most, when you have no work, no emergencies, try to finish all your work by 9:30 and go to sleep before 10. Then only you can have a very good powerful Amrit Vela. So, sleeping early. Now, aim. There should be an aim for Amrit Vela, that I have this aim, that I have to practice this drill. For example, in today's Murli we saw sun of knowledge, moon of knowledge, and I am the star. So receiving blessing of power and love, and I was dirty, I have become lovely, I was burden, I had burden, I became light, I was having failure, I became star of success. So this is a drill, I decided that I have to do this drill. So some planning should be there, some drill planning should be there. This is what I have to practice tomorrow morning. When there is an aim, that time you don't feel sleepy. Baba says about merchants, they are businessmen. If there is some profit taking place at night, they will never feel sleepy. So that is one. Next is, if you still feel sleepy, then better not to sit at one place, roam around and do Amrit Vela. If you still feel sleepy, listen to some audio, Bab Dada's audio or some class. If you still feel sleepy, read something. If you still feel sleepy, do some asana and yogasana and pranayama or some exercise. Some musical chair, the dance which you danced just now, start dancing. Or go for a walk if place is there, or go on the terrace or go to some garden, change the place of doing Amrit Vela. And if you feel sleepy during Murli, one thing I will suggest it, try to read that Murli before only then. So that going to class and listening to Murli is just a revision. When you know most of the things what is being said. Because everything nowadays is available online. If you still feel sleepy during Murli, take the book and try to write almost every point. But even this can be a trap. Recently one brother showed me his copy. He was so sleepy during Amrit, during Murli class, what he wrote was just like this, goal, goal, everything. He even did not know, what is this? I have written this. Nothing was visible. Just like this, he was sitting with eyes awake and he was sleeping and writing like this. But it is a good habit to keep on making points during Murli so that you don't go to sleep. So devise some methods. Find out why I am feeling sleepy. What is the reason for inadequate sleep? Is it some thyroid problem? Some physical problem? Is it some B12 deficiency? Vitamin D3 deficiency? Some medical problem? Something is there. Some pain is there in the body. Or body is not getting adequate sleep. Or there is some increased stress, tension, negativity. Something is there. Or my yoga is not good with Baba. So increase love for Baba. Or there is a too much attraction of the world. Digital attractions are there. So do all these things and work on your sleep. Many things the topic can go on, but I think this is enough.
We actually are short of time, so there are a few more questions to be asked. But one last question maybe to ask brother is like, what is the signals that you are getting from time? And especially for those who haven't been to Madhuban, or maybe those who think that this is the time to make intense effort, you can give any message?
Yeah, this yajna can be divided into 5 parts. First is 1G, 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G. First was from 1936 till 1950, when the yajna was in Karachi, Hyderabad, Sindh Hyderabad. That is 1G. All the dadis came during that period. Then there was a 2G, when the yajna got shifted to Mount Abu from 1950 till 1969, when Brahma Baba was there. So this is the period when all the elder senior brothers came, who took the palna sustenance from Brahma Baba and Mamma. That is 2G. The third is from 1969 till when Dadi Prakashmani was there, 2007. So that was a period when the yajna progressed like anything. So there were many people who came during this period. Most of them are center in charges and all that. So that was third period, 3G. And then 4G was a period after the demise of Dadi Prakashmani till the time Baba was coming. Many souls came during this period also. So that was 4G. And now is the 5G. When Baba has stopped coming, and then they show the recorded Murli, and now the souls who have come, already it's too late. Time is just breathing. Time is about to breathe its last. So, not just intense effort, but super intense effort is needed at this time. And rather than asking what effort to do, I will say more important thing is what not to do. Wasting time, getting indulged in all the digital attractions, increasing relationships, expanding and getting lost sometimes even in service. The focus should be only on tapasya. The focus should be on soul consciousness. The focus should be more on conducting such retreats as we are conducting here. At least every week there should be a retreat. If it is not getting organized at a higher level, it should be a personal retreat. Let me have my personal retreat every Saturday, Sunday, where I stay in silence, where I churn Murli, and keep on increasing your understanding of knowledge. Because time is very less. We never know at what time the third world war will break out. We never know what time natural calamities would come. We never know when there would be upheaval in the world. We never know all this scientific facilities and everything what we have. Everything will be come to a stop. So time is very less. So even that time consciousness is needed. So for the souls who have come now, what I think is they should first try to know how this yajna gets established. They should go and listen to all the history of the yajna. Read all those books about yajna. Then their basis, foundation of Brahmin life will become strong. And another thing, purity. The foundation of this Brahmin life is complete purity. Find out all the sensual, sexual triggers and just stop them. If these are the things which are responsible for breaking my celibacy, my brahmacharya, my purity, stop them immediately. So most important thing is what not to do. These are the things I need not to do. These are the things which are not allowed for me. These are my maryadas. So try to know maryada. Get thirsty for knowledge. Get thirsty to become bodiless. Try to become more and more soul conscious. Try to read more and more. Try to penetrate into the depth of this. And also, don't perform any sinful actions. So I think in this last time when souls have come and during this last period of 5G, time is very less. So utilize each and every moment and don't waste any time, don't waste any thought. Om Shanti.
Thank you, brother. I won't ask any more questions because I think this is quite a lot of red light. Yeah, telling you. Okay, thank you.